Hello and welcome to Reality TV. I am your host, Jody, and today we're going to be breaking down 90 Day Fiancé and Love After Lockup right after I fill you in on quite the eventful weekend. It began on Friday afternoon when Amanda from Amanda Loves to Hate Teen Mom, she and I were recording our episode for Total Request Podcast, and oh no, I take that back. This was actually Thursday evening. My computer went completely fucking psycho on me. It stopped recording. It would not work. It kept saying I didn't have any memory left. And I have something called like an external hard drive. I don't know. Dave does all the technical shit. So I had all the room possible on my laptop. I took off all of my photos, my music, everything. And it was still saying it was full. So I couldn't record. I couldn't save. I was just melting down. And of course, Amanda's laughing like, no big deal. And I was having a full-blown fucking meltdown. Little tip for you Mac owners, do not download the new Catalina upgrade or software, whatever the fuck it is. I knew it had messed up my recording software. I use Audacity. I don't use GarageBand because, I don't know, it's like for millennials or some shit. I can't figure it out. But I kept having to do this hack that I found where I go to that little magnifying glass thing and then I had to pull something up called a terminal and I cut and paste some sort of command in there. So I knew it wasn't working with my software, but I didn't know it was going to fuck everything else up, and it did. So I had to save everything off, save it onto this Lassie external hard drive. And then I had a downgrade to Mojave, which I guess is what I had before. Long story short, this all took me about 8 hours of screaming and crying and about to just quit podcasting, quit my life altogether, and go live Amish style or something. Word to the wise, do not upgrade to the Catalina until they figure out what the hell all these glitches are. All right, so after that, it was time to plan a little party for Scout's first birthday. You guys, I am that person that I couldn't stand. I have a purple sweatshirt for the dog. We know how I feel about purple. She's got a sweatshirt for chilly days, even a little sheep-lined coat sort of thing. All right, fine. I have two coats, a sweatshirt. I was looking at a raincoat, but I thought, you know, that might be a little much. But I also planned a first birthday party for the damn dog. My sister was going to come over with her dog, but then her dog was in heat and bleeding or something. And I was like, no, that's not going to work out. So we'll replan that part. But I was very proud of myself because I made my world famous chocolate chip cookies. Patreon subscribers, I gave you the recipe last Christmas as a little gift from me to you. And I also made the most amazing and fairly easy to make homemade soft pretzels. You guys go to Pinterest or go to Google. It is Alton Brown's recipe, and his stuff is a little complicated for me, but they're so freaking easy, and you'll feel like you are Martha Stewart because you're kind of baking bread, like you wait for it to rise, and you feel like, oh my God, I know what to do with yeast. It's amazing, and they are delicious. I probably could have eaten 3/4 of the dough. It only makes 8 large pretzels, so a little trick for you. Roll some of that dough out into strings or long ropes, and then use a little pizza slicer and cut them into little nuggets. It feels like there's more food, but really it's the same amount. And if you're anything like me, it matters what it looks like when it's on the plate. If it looks like I'm having a lot of food, I'm going to feel more satisfied. So there you go. You're going to love me for it. Maybe even make them as an appetizer. That's what I did, but it really ended up being like a nice meal. Again, this is all for a fucking dog birthday party. But listen, do the pretzels, get a little queso dip. I ran to the local Jewel. It was already pre-made, 2 for $5. Got a little pico de gallo, you know, to eat by myself later. And the queso, warm that shit up. Boom. I'm telling you, even the barefoot Contessa would have queso dripping down her chin. Even Jeffrey. Now, what else happened? My computer hates me. The potty for Scout. Oh, I started watching The Morning Show. This is the show everyone's talking about. It's on Apple TV. If you sign up for a free trial, I think you get a month free because that's what we're doing right now. I'm only on episode 2, and I do have some strong opinions about it that are probably unpopular, as most of my opinions are, or maybe I'm just saying the things that everyone else is too afraid to say. I think Jennifer Aniston is a pretty good actress in it. It's believable that she is a morning show anchor. The actress that I really don't enjoy in this series, and I know she's one of the producers, Reese Witherspoon. Now, not only do I get annoyed because I have to slow down my rate of speech whenever I say her name because it always comes out Reese Witherspoon, her acting is a little much. It's too, if you will. I just feel like besides her character on Legally Blonde, every one of her characters is a Southern sweet girl who's really smart. And the Southern accent thing is really put on, especially the first episode where she has this thing. This isn't gonna spoil anything. There's no spoiler alert. She goes on this rant during the first episode. And all I can think is, I'm watching Reese Witherspoon. I'm not watching a character. So she throws me out of actually diving right in. But otherwise, it's a pretty good show. And I absolutely want the apartment Jennifer Aniston lives in so fucking badly. She's got these two side chairs that she's sitting in. And it's this weird, almost like a pillow fabric. If you watch it, you know what I'm talking about. It's like a loose knit frise kind of thing. I'm obsessed with them. Dave would kill me if I ever brought anything in the house like that, but I fucking love them. I feel like every woman should have their own apartment in this city, you know, where you can just have candles lit. You can burn as many as you want without someone saying, "Why do you waste money on candles?" And then you can just stare out the windows at the city and, I don't know, pretend like you're rich. That's what they really should do, is have an apartment in the city that women can rent out every night. Well, I guess that would be called a hotel. Okay, good one, Jody. All right, moving on. Other things I'm obsessed with this week. I listened to The Mysterious Mr. Epstein. It's a fantastic podcast. If you are triggered by abuse things, I totally get it. Just jump to, I believe it is episode 6, and it's called Alone in a Cell or something. That episode, it is so satisfying because they talk about how he finally gets into solitary confinement and he can't go. Oh, get this. So he was having his attorneys come all day and night, just paying random attorneys hundreds of dollars per hour to come and talk to him so he wouldn't have to be in his cell, which I think is bullshit. I mean, we really need to break down the whole prison and jail system and start from scratch. This thing being one of the first rules, you can only have 2 to 3 hours with a lawyer. If you can't get done what you need to get done in 3 hours, you're probably guilty. And that should go for questioning too, police questioning, because look what happened to Brendan Dassey when he was with those investigators for 7 hours, 10 hours. He confessed to a crime that he didn't do, and now he's in jail and he never got to see WrestleMania. Told you guys, I'm in a really good mood. I'm very talkative this morning. All right, Mysterious Mr. Epstein, and I know I'm so behind on this, but I finally binged Bad Batch. It is the same woman who narrates Dr. Death, I believe, right? Yeah, Dr. Death with Dr. Dunch, and it's about stem cell transplant, stem cell therapy. Really, really good. Very bingeable. Sometimes some of those podcasts you have to take a break from, like it's just too much. The Aaron Hernandez one was like that for me. But these two, so good. You could be done with them in a day. So I just really love them. Mysterious Mr. Epstein, Bad Batch. I also binged Heavyweights and Mystery Show, I believe they are called. And that one I know has not been produced in any new episodes in over a year, but they're really good. Go back and listen to them. My favorite one was Belt Buckle, and you'll be bawling by the end. It'll just hit you when you least expect it. It was so good. Go and check that out. And you know what? As long as I'm recommending some things, and this is not an ad, no ads this week. This is a free from my heart episode from me to you. If you live in the Chicagoland area, Chicago burbs, check out this place called Meal Village. If you Google it, it might even just be mealvillage.com. I don't know. But a friend of mine told me about it and I checked it out. And if you go to the site, they have a meal calendar for the entire week. So all the meals available that you can order Monday through Friday, and I'm talking individual portions. So if your kids like the little kids meal, like they have little wraps or little chicken nugget kind of things, if you want, I don't know, there's like chicken and couscous, there's always a fish, there's always a vegetarian meal, go and check it out. But the great part about it is if you pre-order before the day, so if I'm ordering tomorrow or the next day, so on, it's only $7 per meal. And they deliver it to your frickin' door. They just drop it off right by your door, $7. Now, you know, my dad is sick and my mom is really the primary caretaker. So she went on, and you know Carol, she will only purchase something if it is bargain basement, major discount, must be worth it, and she loves it. It really is good. It's homemade food. It's legit. Go and check it out. I don't know. Let me know. I might even have a promo code or something where you save 10, I save 10. You'll like it, especially during the holidays or if you have family members who are sick or, you know, your parents, you want to send them a meal or something like that, go and check it out. Or if you have little kids, it's perfect. They get like a little cookie, they get some cheese cubes or little roll-ups or, like I said, grilled chicken, chicken nuggets. Go and check it out. It's great. $7. I mean, it's fantastic. I mean, it's not homemade soft pretzels, but it's pretty damn good. And you know what else is really good? My friends, Jennifer and Angelica, Eliza and Peggy, who signed up for Patreon. I love you ladies. Go to patreon.com/realitytvpod if you want to get early episodes, ad-free episodes. You get bonus episodes for $5 and up a month. It really supports me going week to week with this podcast and providing you free episodes here. Again, that's patreon.com/realitytvpod. This week, it's going to be a fun bonus episode. I'm going to be talking about the unexpected episode, and I'm also going to have my mom come on. I'm going to ambush her a little bit. I'm going to make her watch some Housewives episodes, and she's going to play Would You Rather. It's going to be painful for her, and we're all going to love it. I'm just kidding. Not too painful. We love Queen Carol. She's the best. We're all very happy that she did not get locked up abroad in China, because she legit almost did. All right, let's get into some real locked up or previously locked up felons. Love after lockup. Let's dive into it. Angela, what happened? I thought Angela was holding strong. Remember last week when she was tinkering around on her hog and she didn't know if she wanted to get back with Tony? Well, guess what? She's taking him back and she's making Tommy drive to get him with her. I'm starting to wonder about Tommy. I mean, I know that they're both allegedly, supposedly mental health professionals, but I am getting strong Forrest Gump vibes from Tommy. Because she's my girl. I mean, come on, Tommy. She's using you and confusing you, and how you're a mental health professional and you don't see this, Lord only knows. Now, later, they finally get to the courthouse slash jail, wherever the hell that was. It was very idyllic. I mean, the building was gorgeous. Would perhaps be a beautiful backdrop for a wedding photo. But the mental health therapist, Angela, I know, it's actually difficult to get those words out of my mouth, greets a much wider Tony along with two garbage bags that are certainly filled with all the tools needed to murder Angela, Tommy, and probably the laundry lady before he skips town in Angela's busted Toyota Camry. So they kiss, they hug, and Angela introduces Tony as her lover to Tommy. I think someone has been reading their therapy books, especially the chapters about subliminal messages. Now, then they go to lunch, and Tommy, being the therapist, like I said, starts to grill Tony, and he was pretty good at it. It was very productive, and at one point, I'll be honest with you here, I think I was starting to find Tommy attractive. I mean, he is really good at his job, and basically, he wants Tony to be honest with Angela at all times, even if he's going to break up with her. The only thing I wish someone would have mentioned, if we're speaking of honesty at the table, is that they should have told Angela about the giant eye booger in the corner of her eye. All it takes is someone to say to her, hey, I think you got a little something right here. Kind of play dumb yourself. So they're like, oh, what is that? So they don't feel embarrassed. I mean, what am I, the therapist here? Jesus. All right, let's move on to Vincent and Amber. Amber is a classic con woman. She and Puppy and Puppy's mom want to fleece Vince for money, and now she can't go through with it because she isn't attracted to Vince and or men. And now we're supposed to feel sorry for her because she doesn't know what to do. She's supposed to bring him to a family reunion. Nope. In the great words of Kim D, owner of Posh Boutique in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey, friend of Real Housewives of New Jersey seasons 2 through, doesn't really matter, a clink clink, bitch. All right, moving along to, oh no, Shale and Josh, that's right. Oh, Lizzie and Daniel. Oh my God, my favorite couple to watch this episode. So Daniel and the cheapest ring in the entire jewelry store are ready to get out of that basement. Daniel is going to blindfold Lizzie so he can take her on this adventure and also have her sprain her ankle and bruise her tailbone on the way out. And, oh God, where do I even begin? So he brings her to this place called Destinations Inn, which seemed like an awfully nonspecific name to begin with. And then Daniel walks Lizzie into this room and immediately, oh, where did my eyes wander to first? Was it the faux geraniums? Was it the fountain that I'm pretty sure my sister has like 2, maybe 3 of? She got them from QVC. She's obsessed. There were lots of doorways, steps, up and down. And then I see it. The architecture. It's a room made to look like Paris? Question mark. There is a tub filled with all sorts of dry semen, the iron rods over an open shower stall, you know, the Eiffel shower, get it, ba-dum-bum-ching. Now, Lizzie was in tears, and I would be too, but for a totally different reason, because there's no way in hell I would be able to hide my disgust of that room. You could already smell the mildew through the screen. I still smell it 48 hours later. I mean, just imagine the amount of dust and moisture that has settled in all the nooks and crannies of those faux roses. And you know those aren't silk. That is some polyester shit if I've ever seen it. That's dollar store fake roses right there. But clearly, these two are a match because they think it is basically the Four Seasons. It's the Ritz of Podunk, Utah, Idaho, wherever the fuck they are. Now, I got curious, as I know many of you in the Facebook group did, and we checked out destinationsin.com. I'll save you the website hit because it's probably far exceeded its capacity at this point. I'll give you your options if you'd like to book a stay there yourself. I have pulled up the page right here. Let's take a look. Starting at, oh my gosh, what a bargain, $159 a night, weekdays, for the Rio de Janeiro room. I suppose I should give you some details. There are, of course, lots of murals on the wall. This one just has a 4-poster bed. I want to say it looks like either a massage table or a ping pong table. Then we have the England-themed room, which has some wood panelings and a big armoire. The Thailand room, oh, that's an upgrade. This is $179 a night. There is a little bistro set with Christmas lights on it. It actually has, looks kind of Aztec-y Mayan to me, but I guess it's supposed to be a Thai temple. There are lots of steps in that one, a lot. That is not wheelchair accessible. Then we have Alaska. Oh, it's a log cabin theme. There is a tub right in the middle of the room. A little blah if I do say so myself. Oh, you know why? Only $119 a night. That's if you're on a budget. You know, maybe you work your way up to the Thailand room. We have a Morocco room, $199. Ooh, pretty pricey. That's definitely for a special occasion. This one has a fountain in the middle of the room with a raised little pond around it. Maybe you throw in pennies to wish that you weren't staying there the night. There is a very large bed. Hey, Morocco, that would probably fit Nicole, Azen, and May. I don't know about Wi-Fi accessibility here. Oh, not sure. Now, this shower is not like the Eiffel shower. It actually looks newly tiled, but it seems small, and there's a glass door randomly placed in the middle of the room. I mean, obviously, these rooms are supposed to be for sexy time, right? because why else would you have a bathroom in the middle of the room? Although I did read the About Us section, and it said that it used to be an old condemned building, shocking, and it had businesses and was a grocery store or something. So maybe they just have really weird locations for plumbing. All right, moving on. We have, oh my God, you guys, there's so many locations. I need to pick up the pace here. We have the Arabia room for $149. Doesn't look like there's any windows in this one. There are a lot of sand dune murals, lots of drapery. I mean, the bedding kind of scares me here. There's a lot of deep red and burgundy colored bedding. Freaks me out. Egypt. Whoa. Okay, there is a Tutankhamun sarcophagus. I would not be sleeping in that room. No fucking way. The Congo. Oh, Jesus. Why is the Congo room only $159? And this one seems to have extensive theming. There are shaved tree kind of things, making a little sectioned off area, a whole rainforest mural across the windows. They've even painted the mural onto the vertical blinds. Let's move on to the Hawaii room. It looks really like the Arabia room plus some faux palm trees. So I guess that makes it Hawaii. We have Athens. Okay, I swear to God, you know what this Athens room looks like? Go and look on the website. It looks exactly like Lincoln's tomb in Springfield, Illinois. Where the bed is where the memorial thing is. Oh my God, you guys, there's no central air. There's an air conditioning unit built into the wall. There's a massive TV. Can you imagine what this faux painter made on this job? How many rooms are there? 3, 6, 9, 12, 14 rooms. Oh yeah, I got a couple more to share with you. The Venice room. Oh God, you guys. The Venice room has a gondola surface surrounding a bathtub in the middle of the room, naturally. And it looks like it's heading straight into a wall mural where the canal is narrowing. And again, a tiny little bistro set that is on top of a platform in front of a faux set of doors. And there's faux clouds. All right, Paris. Oh, here's the room. Eiffel shower, front and center. All right, so we're talking a weeknight in Paris, $179. So that means Daniel actually spent the same amount on the engagement ring as he did on this hotel room. You know, if I were him, I would have doubled down on that ring because you might as well just walk through the fake flower section at Michael's at this point. But, you know, then you won't have the Eiffel shower. Okay, then moving on, two more rooms. Ooh, you can definitely tell that Rome is the room to get. $219. That is big money. Kind of got to work your way up. Maybe by your fifth anniversary, you're spending it in Rome. Now, as you can imagine, there are some faux marble pillars, more red burgundy bedding up on a platform. I don't know. I mean, I think Paris looks like a bigger room than Rome. And lastly, for you theater lovers, New York. This bed is on a stage. It looks like a comedy store stage. It's in the corner, lots of brick. There's a street light. There's stage curtains. Wow, $199. Again, a bargain. All right, let's get to the proposal here. So later, they're strolling through their Paris Park area in the room, and Daniel leads Lizzie to the Eiffel shower, where he gets down on one knee. And at this point, Lizzie's doing that awkward thing that a lot of people have to do when they're getting engaged, okay? She's got to pretend like she's got no clue that he's proposing right at this moment, when we all know that she knew what he was going to do the second that he asked her to pack a bag. Now that he mumbles, and I notice one of his nexits gets really red, and he's got to put like one of those little sticker things on it so it'll pop. It's really gross. But he asks her to marry him, and he gives her the shut the fuck up ring. And then they're all happy, and she's happy. I think she actually likes the heart-shaped ring, surprisingly. And then, of course, they assume the laundry room position with their heavily stitched jeans on and lay directly atop that nasty comforter. Everything in this place is lava. I mean, it's basically Kilauea at this point. They better have that on the wall mural in the Hawaii room. All right, Glorietta and Alex. Glory be to Glorietta. She's making the show this season. Now, I know you are not going to believe this. I mean, with the top 40 love song hit and all. But Alex, he's not in love with Glorietta. I know. I thought the spark would last longer than the length of Glorietta's fake eyelashes, but wow, it's going to be a rough night. Now, I am surprised Glorietta didn't catch fiancé Cato's wife saying to her, "Oh, did Alex give you this ring? It's so cute." I mean, even as someone who is not a jewelry snob, it's just not my thing. Just like I don't get into cars, really even shoes. But I would side-eye a bitch so quickly, she'd probably think that I have a wonky eye if she called my new engagement ring cute. That's just not a word that you say to someone when you're looking at really any new piece of jewelry. But we end up liking fiancé Cato because she knows and Cato knows that Alex is an asshole. Now, before we hear any more from the ladies, the guys arrive with flowers and chocolates from Walgreens, and Alex does his best comedy routine for the waitress. "I'll have a vodka on the racks." I was just shooting up people, being a gangster. just kidding. Now then, later over some delicious-looking fish tacos, Cato is like a witness on the stand and cannot tell a lie. See what I did there? Now, I don't know if I would have used the phrase murky waters while you're eating fish tacos, but I love some Cato honesty. He said what he needed to say to plant the seed of wonder, and then he checked the fuck out, leaving said fish tacos uneaten. I don't have that willpower, but I'm getting there. Now, Alex then basically pretends like he never proposed to Glorietta, and of course, Glorietta gets pissed. And you know, I'd be pissed too if I went to a Valentine's Day meal and my fiancé took a take-back-sies and didn't creative debate with me. Oh, God. Glorietta. How she has made it through life alive at this point is just baffling to me. Valentine's Day, creative debating. I mean, you have to wonder if she gets into the shower every morning, like it's the first time, like it's a surprise, like, "Why water out of the wall? How does it do that? It's so cold. How do I make it hot? Oh, this handle here." Jesus fucking Christ. You know, maybe her eyebrows are actually real. Like, they're permanently surprised by things like a shower, breezes in the outdoors. "Who's blowing on me? Water coming out of this machine fountain for free? I love luxury items." She's so fucking stupid. Now, I'm not going to let Alex get off scot-free here because he gaslights Glorietta by saying she doesn't love him. Why does she love him? You can't tell me. Tell me something you love about me. You must not love me. And while he does have a point because Glorietta cannot name a single freaking thing besides his tattoo and maybe a sixth of an ab, but he's instigating a fight because he wants Glorietta to break up with him so he can run back to that girl who is way too good for him. But you know what? Glorietta's gonna show him. "You know what, Alexander? You can take these flowers and this chocolate and shove it up your ass." Please, no, Glorietta, not the Russell Stover. God, he couldn't even spring for a Fannie Mae, a Hershey, for Christ's sake. No. Now, don't get me wrong, I can actually really get down with an assorted box of chocolates because it is like an adventure every time you open it. You know, what are you going to get? Just ask Tommy. Tommy and Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates. But now it's different. You can't really use that phrase because now they have that map on the lid. You know what I'm talking about? And every time I go in there, I'm always thinking, you know, this time I'm going to find that one more of my favorite kind. But of course, it's not there because I've already eaten it. Caramel filled. And yeah, I said caramel, not caramel, you elitist grammar queens. It's caramel. I also really enjoy like a fruit flavored filling, like those raspberry ones. Yum. Those all chocolate or the chocolate ganache filled, they can just fuck right off and get right in the garbage can. You know, at this point, you should be able to get along with others well. Those who are like you on the inside and the out. Get along with the nougats, the caramels, and the nuts. Instead of being so, "Oh, we have to stick with our kind, you chocolate bigots. All right, I don't know where I'm going there. Hopefully I didn't offend anyone. Hopefully I didn't offend anyone from the Nougat Nation. All right, let's move on to Lacey, Shane, and John. And I saved this one for last because I knew my blood pressure was going to go through the roof. I'll probably need to take my Effexor right after this one because Lacey really, holy shit, she should be in jail. She should be the one having to find a love after lockup after this episode. You know, she's got two men in love with her. Correction, actually one man and one basically child. And Lacey knows exactly what she's doing because she has Shane show up there. I don't believe he came on his own accord. He doesn't have that many brain cells in his head to think of this plan. She has Shane show up. That's a tongue twister right there. And she is rubbing Shane all over her body to make John and his stupid AC Slater t-shirt feel even shittier about himself. This whole kiss, kiss, I love you, I love you, I love you. That was so freaking fake because she's kissing Shane. She's looking at John while she's doing it and vice versa. And I did love how John threw out the, oh, look at his teeth comment because, you know, I'm always getting an eye out for orthodontia. Now then, that crazy bitch slaps John across the face, grabs his phone, and then taunts him that she's going to call his PO just because she can. She is pure evil. You know, let Shane have her crazy ass, John, because he's going to be going through the exact same thing in probably a matter of weeks. Now, what is Shane doing while Lacey is battering someone in public? Well, he's getting in the car saying, you better get out of here quick, Lacey. Hold me back. Hold me back. I'm going to beat his ass right here in the street, yo. Oh, really? He's saying this as he is buckling his seatbelt or even reclining his seat to his preferred setting and lighting up a cigarette. Yeah, you really seem like you're on your toes there, Shane. That was a real Sure Jan moment. Let me at him. Let me at him as he's like tightening it up. He's tightening his booster seat. He's getting himself into his five-point harness. All right. Now, then later, they go back to Lacey's house, and Lacey tells Shane that she still wants to marry him because John is an asshole. And Asa, can I have my ring back? Fucking bitch. And you know what really put everything over the edge for me? When they did the interview afterwards, when this is all said and done, she said the only regret she has is that she would have hit him harder, or she would have hit him again, or some shit like that. Really? Okay, please do, because I want to see this bitch locked up. Hitting anyone, whether you are a woman or a man, is absolutely wrong. And again, she is a mother of three. And all the, you know, cam girl stuff aside, whatever she needs to do to pay her bills, I don't really fucking care. I'm not going to watch it, although Amanda sent me screenshots of the previews of the 30-second blowjob video that she has out. But she has the paternity of her son on national TV. To her, that's just a TV point to get her on the show. That's bullshit. And of course, she's out, you know, abusing men. And John said that she does that all the time. And I believe him. That's really saying a lot when you believe a convicted felon. It sounds like he's been in and out. He seemed like a stand-up guy. Like he should fucking run for office in comparison to Lacey and Shane. All right, deep breath, quick break. I'm going to go refill my coffee cup. And then we are going to get down with some 90 Day. Oh, I am so ready to talk about this episode. I feel like I'm the only 90 Day Fiancé person on Instagram and Twitter that is loving this season. This season's getting so much hate saying it's so boring, but I really love it. I think there's some quirky couples. There's some boring ones that I really don't give a shit about. Michael and Juliana. But Anna and Marcel, this is ratings gold to me. I love it. So let's talk about them first, actually. Anna and the delegate from Turkey are driving from Chicago to Nebraska. Why? I have no idea. He could have just flown into Omaha, right? But I can vouch for Marcel. That drive is so fucking boring. I mean, it's going to make anyone want to move to Turkey. So what do we find out about Marcel during this trip? Lots of time to talk, lots of time to get to know one another, maybe learn each other's language just a little bit. No, not quite. But we do find out that Marcel loves a good Turkish road trip mixtape. He likes pizza. He can sleep like a baby sitting upright, which is not easy to do. Maybe he can start a travel blog or something. Now, once at Anna's house, I noticed immediately it is a completely different house than last week. I know a split level when I see one, and that house this week, my friends, was not the same split level that we saw last week. Anyway, Marcel immediately wants to do like this traditional Turkish head thing, which really weirds out Anna's sons, and I put all the blame square on Anna. Give Marcel and or your kids a heads up on normal things like how people greet each other in America or Turkey. You have to be proactive, Anna. You are the mom. It is not up to your boys to navigate this shit. I mean, I would be taking advantage of pushing back too on an adult coming into my home if my mom or dad brought a stranger in on pizza night nonetheless. Jump to either a bowling alley, an entertainment center, something very Midwestern. Marcel shows up in this super cute sarong and Anna ambushes him with her mom. Are we starting to see a pattern here? Anna withholding vital information to others and then taking a back seat when push comes to shove, like, oh, I don't know what's going on. How do you do that? How does Marcel have no idea that your mom is coming? Can't you use your little translator app to do that? So Mother Anna shows up and orders herself a beer because she knows it's gonna be a night, am I right? And immediately Anna turns into a that girl. That girl who's going to turn herself into someone she's not for the guy that she's with. Now, what makes it extra tragic is that this involves three sweet kids. The poor middle son is stuck texting for grandma, asking if Marcel's going to stick around if his family finds out that Anna has kids. Gee, thanks, Mom. Way to set an example for us on how relationships should work and, you know, how much you love us so much that you are going to hide the fact that we even exist. You know, Anna has this out of sight, out of mind personality. And let's be truthful here, that doesn't mix with adulthood. Ask anyone who has a family member or a friend with this kind of selective mood disorder. It sucks for everyone involved. My heart goes out to those kids, especially that youngest one that I want to just kidnap and squeeze his cheeks off. Now let's get Michael and Juliana out of the way because this guy is starting to really piss me off, especially after I'm listening to this Epstein shit. Allegedly, I'm not saying he did all this extortion stuff, but you know, it's got that aura to it. Now, Michael is shopping for a unique gift for Juliana, and by unique, I mean a Fugs McGee. Yellow gold with red, white, and blue, and green topaz. At least he's really into Pride Week. Now, the jeweler really stole the show during the scene because he was laughing right in Michael's face. It was amazing. Oh, by the way, who told me why Michael looks familiar? Oh, God damn it. I'm blanking on your name because I'm on a rant and my memory just goes. I go into a fugue state when I'm recording. But anyway, Michael looks like Mary Brown from Sister Wives. Do you see it now? The chin, the mumble, the tight lips, the miserableness, the narcissism. They've got everything the same. Different wet bar, but the face is close enough. Anyway, the jeweler. Juliana calls for money, and we find out Juliana's been running up dem cards. Spending is definitely her love language. I'm going to sound like a real asshole here, but let's go there. If you are going to flaunt your wealth, like Michael does, you know, leading with the cars that they met on the yacht and flashing his watch and his wine, you better not have a small walk-in closet with an MDF shelving system from Home Depot. That was not even container store quality. Get the fuck out of here. And I know a faux leather headboard when I see it, and I saw it in two pillows on a king bed. Really, Mr. Moneybags? No hired designer to tell you that you need at least three Euroshams, Euro pillows, or at the very least, king size pillows with additional pillows and shams? No. I do not believe that Michael's got the money that he says he is. I bet he's drinking box wine when he's alone. And I and your therapist know it now, Michael. Yep, the jig is up. Now back to reality. Michael is flying to Brazil for Juliana's visa interview. if she gets denied, it's done. I mean, they can get married, but she can't move here, right? But for now, they're just going to like pretend like their relationship is nothing to see here. No big deal. We met on a yacht, just like the rest of us 99%ers, right? Yeah, right, says the U.S. Embassy. Now, although I hate that our government is getting into Juliana's pants, there is a certain, you know, need-to-know basis, and to me, it's founded because Juliana does have a bunch of stamps in her passport, but now, all of a sudden, she's immigrating to America and ditching the modeling gig. I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but I do think the embassy was just simply trying to do their due diligence. I don't think they were trying to be assholes about it. But at least Michael gets to think that he's the victim, right? It's so hard for him being in the 1%. I'm going to say maybe like top 20%. I still doubt the 1% thing because, again, we saw your closet, man. Oh, other than that, I think I like Juliana. I'm still really confused about it, but I think I like her, and I'm still definitely getting the douche vibe from Michael. Now let's talk about Tanya. Ooh. Somehow I do think she's related to Vanessa from Seeking Sister Wives. There's a similarity there. Obviously, I like Vanessa more, especially because she broke up from the wackadoo family. But my love for Tanya that I had last week is rapidly declining. I will be the first to admit I was not seeing quite clearly last week because I was distracted by the sex corner and the bare feet on the hotel carpet. But now I am seeing clearly. I'm 6 days sober off my Sour Patch Kids. And this chick is a lot. And why are her friends there? And what is with the flowers? Clearly, St. John doesn't have like some unique passion for flowers. He's not a botanist. So why does she have them all over the hotel room and now all over, I don't know, New York airports, JFK, LaGuardia, wherever, doesn't matter. You know why we have never seen anyone spread flower droppings all over an airport? Because it's a dick move. You know, what if someone is allergic? Or what if someone was choosing to scatter other bio-organic matter that someone thought would be fun to spread all over? And then popping champagne that just spills all over out of the bottle onto the floor? Can you even have open alcohol in an airport like that? I really hope that they left that champagne for the custodial crew to clean up because of their assholishness all over the place. Also, while Tanya is getting on my nerves, yeah, there's more. She's got frickin' Frack following her everywhere. Like, she needs an entourage now. Why couldn't the friends have stayed back at the hotel while Tanya goes and picks up her Encino man on her own? I'll tell you exactly why. Tanya, turns out, needs attention 24/7. As St. John comes running down the terminal, if you watched, Tanya is saying, "I'm crying, you guys. Like, I'm crying. I'm crying." We know. We're watching you. Just live in the moment instead of playing for your Instagram story or some shit. I do not like it. I'm on the record now. I am not digging Tanya. Now, St. John, jury is still out, but I'm standing by my caveman tooth decay theory. Jump to the hotel room. All four of them arrive to Tanya's sex corner. And you think at this point the friends would have a clue, but they're hanging out just like Jody did. Probably 93 through, 98. I was a third, fourth wheel, and you don't have a clue that everyone wants you to get the fuck out. You're just hanging around. But the friends finally do leave. All right, then 2 hours later, knock, knock, knock. Fucking Tanya called her friends back to go sightseeing and make St. John get the door for her friends. What the fuck? Wouldn't Tanya want to explore the city with her fiancé by herself? You know, you're not in middle school anymore. Your friends will understand that you have a boyfriend, okay? But no, she's got the friends tagging along. And of course, they have to do the one thing that I'm sure real New Yorkers hate and what makes me dread going to New York. They make a scene. Tanya wants all the eyes in the world on her. She's already got a camera crew, but now she needs everyone to know a man likes her. He moved across the globe for her. God, I would be so fucking pissed if I were one of those friends having to hold that fucking sign. I would bail. I'd run to some deli, eat some smoked cured meats, and probably find a cool bar to hang out. And then I'd walk back to the hotel later, avoiding Tanya and Caveman at all freaking costs. And Tanya, by the way, didn't even spell sugar correctly on that sign. Go back and look. She spelled it S-U-G-E-R. It's S-U-G-A-R. You think she plays the sax while she's having sex? God, she's really become insufferable. Also insufferable is Emily. Let's talk about her. This is the one in Volgograd, Russia. I love my country, but I have to tell you, after this dinner scene with wife number one named Masha, I can absolutely without a doubt get down with some subtitled Russian reality TV. I have never been more captivated, and probably because I had to read the subtitles and use actual brain cells. But whatever it was, give me some Russian TV and give it to me now. Minus the communism and Vladimir Putin, because he scares the fucking shit out of me. But basically, at this dinner, Masha tells us that Sasha... Oh my God, I just thought about that. Masha and Sasha. They probably had some really cute little namey things at their wedding. Anyway, Sasha cheated on Masha and got wife number two pregnant. And then, of course, he's doing the same thing when he met Emily. And then Emily had to do her, I'm not feeling well suddenly, fake sick bullshit to get attention. And then she sprints out of the hot seat. So Sasha's going to have to answer the tough questions. And I don't know if it was just me, but did Sasha not translate accurately? Because he made it sound like he wanted Daniel to choose the U.S. when Daniel was older, not coming for visits when he's younger currently. Or maybe that was just like an assumed thing that Masha knew. But either way, I think Emily sucks. I think she's a drama queen. I think she lives in a fantasy world. And I think Sasha's gonna show his true colors soon enough. Now let's talk about Robert Bobby. Bobby! Robert is such a fool, and his friend, who totally forgot his name, he knows what's going on. He knows that Annie is coming here for the money, but of course, Robert doesn't want to listen. I'm going to start calling him Bobby on accident. Bryson, his son, this kid knows what's up. I think he is doubling down on the hopes that Annie really is the one for his dad. Truth be told, I'm not a big fan of long hair on kids, but I'm going to let this one fly because Bryson is seriously cute. He could probably be a baby model if that were not a creepy thing. Now, minus the meltdown that he had at the airport, he obviously needed a nap. I'm not going to say it's his fault. He just needed a little ride up on Mama Jody's hip for a little sway action. Every mom knows it. As soon as you see a baby, you just instinctively start doing the sway. The figure eight sway that every mom who's read Happiest Baby on the Block knows. But yeah, he's cute. Now, I'm really, really hoping this Annie shit works out because Robert's already sold her to Bryson. He's all mama, mama. Annie better not fuck with Bryson or she's going to have a nation of 90 Day Fiancé watchers that are going to make her life a living hell. Did I already even talk about Annie getting there? Well, okay, she does. She gets to the airport. She comes down the escalator in a denim jumpsuit. Interesting choice for a long flight, but at least Bryson will learn what a yeast infection is while he's learned to put the toilet seat down. But it gets worse. I'm surprisingly not going to fault little Bryson here. I am blaming Robert for all the kicking and screaming and attention-getting behavior. He hyped the kid up for Annie's arrival. He's hanging shit on the wall and saying, your new mom is here and she's going to be all lovey-dovey to you. And then when Annie gets there, he's like, go to bed. I'll put on some Ninja Turtles and check back in with you in like a solid 10. No, of course that kid is going to be hyped up and he's not going to want to go to bed. Not to mention that Robert should have transitioned Bryson into his own bed long before Annie arrived there. And I don't care if you co-sleep. This is not a parenting podcast, obviously. But to expect your child to sleep with a strange woman on the first night that even you yourself are sleeping with her? Hell no. Think about if this were the other way around. Some man coming into a household with a, what, preschool age girl, and he's sleeping in the same bed as the girl and her mom. No. Shame on you, Robert. This is not stuff that you can just go at willy-nilly and go to bed. We're all a cute family. Absolutely not. And that's all I have to say about that. And that's all I have to say for this podcast today. So thank you for listening. Please subscribe, leave a 5-star review. That's what helps get the word out about reality TV. Check out Total Request Podcast with Amanda and I this week. We are going to be talking about the very first season, first episode of The Simple Life. That's at patreon.com/AmandaandJody. Check out my Patreon page for bonus episodes and more. That's at patreon.com/realitybpod. Make sure you're following me on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. Everything is at realitybpod. Makes it easy for you. And as always, have a great week and stay salty.